He says, remember, today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. Isn't that a good one? I don't know why I think that. Anyway, turn to, we're going to be looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 through 12. Again, this is, I would encourage you to kind of read through both books, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Kind of read, it's not very long. One is five chapters, one is three chapters. These are really great books and great letters that Paul wrote to this church that was really doing very well. And he's writing back to them after he sent Timothy back there to find out how things were going. Certain things were happening. People were coming back after Paul left, accusing him of certain things. We'll get into that in a little bit. And then life started to have trouble. I mean, they might have expected that their life would be real easy after they became believers, and things were starting to happen. It's in 2 Thessalonians, Paul talks about that, where he said, you know, don't let affliction and struggles draw you away from who God is. The church is doing great. Chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, Paul writes, for the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves report about us that what kind of reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. And he's going to get into the second part of the book. We're going to get into the rapture and what's happening there. So what Paul is writing to them and saying things are, you know, the church is really doing very well. People had come back after Paul left, and they had, in Acts 17, where it says they created a whole mob of people to go after Paul, and then Paul had to flee. And then they started telling lies about him. And chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, he says, you know that our story was not in vain. What we told you was true. You believed it. Verse 2 of chapter 2. We were bold in spite of opposition. It wasn't like I wasn't running away. But they might have been accusing Paul. Well, see, he's a short timer. He's running away. And Paul says, no, we were bold in spite of opposition that we had. Verse 3 in chapter 2, we weren't there not from error or impure motives or lies. This is, the story is true. Jesus is the Messiah. I had pure motives. Some people think, if when you read Acts, that many leading women came after or followed the gospel. The one commentary I read, there were itinerant preachers, not just Christian preachers, that went all over the Roman Empire, gathering little groups of people under them. A lot of them were gathering temple prostitutes. There was this whole impure thing to worship other idols. And Paul says, no, that wasn't me. We weren't there. We were there with pure motives, not lies. Verse 4 of chapter 2. We were there not to please men. We weren't there just to make you happy, just to gather people around us and make the gospel be this, well, see how popular it is. We weren't there to please men, but to please God. Verse 5, we didn't do that with flattery or greed. We weren't coming there just to make money. There was I was listening to John MacArthur, and he had this thing called, a conference called Strange Fire, and it's about the whole charismatic movement and health, wealth, and prosperity, and all that. And he said, he said there's 500 million charismatics in the world. You know, I don't know if that's true or not. And he said, and 90% of them believe that if you give money, you're going to get wealth and health. 90% of them. 80% of them live below the poverty level. So when you listen to this, guys, when you just see that certain people are there for greed, to make more money. And Paul says, that wasn't us. We didn't come there to get money from you. We didn't come there to get glory, to be lifted up on a pedestal and say, look at Paul. And then throughout like chapter 1 through chapter 2. This is the other thing. He's trying to get them to remember what it was like when he was there. And he says, as you know, or as you recall, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. Let me show you where they are. Chapter 1, verse 5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you. Chapter 2, verse 1. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. He's getting them to remember. Chapter 2, verse 5. For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with the pretext of greed. God is our witness. Chapter 2, verse 9. For just as you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship. He's saying to think back. Think back, Thessalonians, how it was. Remember, you know what it was like. And then finally in verse 11 in chapter 2, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you. And he repeats it, just as you know. And I don't know, I was going to think this was a great analogy, but what came into my mind was the movie Princess Bride. I don't know why, but remember the part where he's with the princess and, you know, he's the Dread Pirate Roberts? Yeah. And she's thinking he's one person and she pushes him down the hill and he's rolling down the hill. As you wish. And I thought, that's what Paul is doing. You know, as you know, remember what it was like when I was there. And that's how he got her. That's how he won her over. And if you remember, and this is kind of interesting. It has nothing to do with the Princess Bride, but how he won her over when he was a slave and a servant, and he kept saying, as you wish, I don't know why I thought of Princess Bride but Paul kept repeating, as you know, remember what I was like and what our relationship was like. And as we get verses 6 through 12, you really are getting to see the heart of who Paul was. And most people apply this. They're saying this is really supposed to be the heart of a pastor and leading a church. And when you think about who Paul was, he went from a persecutor to a pastor. I mean, when we read these 6 verses or 7 verses, think about who he was at one point, standing next to the guys as they stoned Stephen and threw their coats at his feet. You know, a harsh, hard Jew that wanted people killed. So he went from a persecutor to a pastor. He went from a murderer to a minister, and with a heart for these people. And then I think, as I've been kind of going through this and trying to figure out what the actual theme of the whole book is, I think it's in chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. He writes to them, "We sent Timothy, our brother, and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith, so that no man may be disturbed by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we have been destined for this." I think the point of this letter is to say to the Thessalonians, keep going. I want to encourage and strengthen your faith. Because you know, I told you afflictions were going to come. Don't be surprised. Don't think that now God doesn't exist, that your faith is untrue, that the story that Paul told us was too good to be true. Paul says, I told you afflictions would come, and I want to encourage and strengthen your faith. So that's kind of and I said, don't let people or problems make you go back. Don't give up. Have your faith strengthened. Let me read verses 5 through 12. And there's 3 analogies Paul is going to use on how he treated people. Let me read them, and then they're pretty obvious. Let me begin in verse 5. I'll read 5 through 12. For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with the pretext for greed, God is witness, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority. But we proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having thus a fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working day and night so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. We are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly, or you are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly, and uprightly, and blamelessly we behave toward you believers, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. So there's three analogies that Paul uses in these. The first one is, and they're really family type, well, not kind of, they are family relationships. He talks about being a nursing mother, about being a servant, and about being a father. And I thought about, have you seen that new Chevy commercial about the new family? Have you seen this? And it shows families getting into a car, but I thought the whole definition of family has started to change before our very eyes. And as you look back at this and you think about how Paul uses, and if our world, if there's one thing our world needs now, it's to think about this whole idea of a family and what it means and how. And you read literature about the family being the basic foundation of society. We let that go, and it's a trouble. So anyway, that as you read through this verse 7, where Paul says, I don't know if it was Austin or somebody, I forget what kind of like, oh, I never really wanted to think about this, about this kind of an analogy. But it says, but we prove to be to you gentle among you, verse 7, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her children. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to picture that in your mind. There's something that guys don't get. But we can see the picture that Paul says to them, we were tender and gentle. You just watch a young mom with a young baby. We just saw one we were at Payway the other day, Friday night with Amy, and this, brand new little baby and a mom. There is no relationship on the planet that is that gentle and tender. I remember one time when we were at Reinhardt, remember those little dolls that used to look so real, they looked like real babies? Well, Amy had one time, and I was carrying Amy, and I had the doll by the foot, and I was walking through, and this old lady came up to me in church and said, I thought you were carrying the baby like that. And I'm like, no one would have expected, some might have expected a dad to do that, but never, you would never see a mom carry a baby like that. So Paul says, remember, we proved to be gentle among you. And when I'm reading and listening to sermons about this, MacArthur says, we're not CEOs. Pastors are not chief executive officers. They're not the president. They are like a nursing mom, gentle and tender. There is no picture more gentle and tender than watching a mom nurse a baby. And Paul says, that's how we were among you. think MacArthur said, life-giving with no applause, no gratitude, other than maybe looking into the kid's eyes. But that baby would die without a nursing mom. And what do you get for it? Dirty diapers and crying. And Paul says, that's how we were among you, expecting nothing back. Think as Paul says this, and he looks at himself as a nursing mother. It's an analogy, you know, it's not like, think of the change that God made in his heart to go from a murderer to caring for the people in Thessalonica like a mom cares for a baby. God, and it is, as I thought through this, and I write notes to myself, and I think, well, I'm not Paul, you know, and yet, think about the change that God made in each one of our lives. Where would you be? Where would I be if God hadn't reached down? Where would, in those songs, an old song, you know, Just As I Am, takes us, took Paul, took me, took you, just like you are, and transformed us from darkness to light. And that's what, when I read this and I think of Paul, I don't know, 20 years before this? Did he, you know, this is sanctified imagination. When he says this, when he says, I proved to be gentle among you as a nursing mother, tenderly cares for her own children, do you think he ever had flashbacks of Stephen? And realizing what God had done in his life and saying to the Thessalonians, think what God can do in yours. Don't go back. Don't let affliction or people destroy your faith. The second analogy he has is in verse 8 and 9 is of a servant. Having thus fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our very lives. The word is actually our very souls. We didn't just give you the gospel. We didn't just tell you a story. We gave you our very souls. You know what it was like when we were among you. But also our very lives, because you had become very dear to us. There was this relationship built between the Thessalonians and Paul and Silas and Timothy that were all there. And Paul is saying, remember what that was like. We were a servant among you. We weren't there to, don't listen to the people that have come after and said, Paul is there to build his own ministry and build his own reputation. We were there serving you. We were there as servants, not as a CEO or as a president. Verse 9, for you recall, brethren, our labor and our hardship, how working day and night so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim the gospel to you, the gospel of God. We didn't ask for money. We didn't, and as people go through this, you know, Paul, is it in Corinthians where Paul says, I forget where it is, where he says the teacher has the ox has the right to the food. You know, people have the right to live if they preach the gospel. They have the right to live by the gospel, to be paid. The worker is due double. You know, so you can and he could have asked for that, but Paul says, but we are among you as servants. We didn't ask for money. You became very dear to us. There's this. And as you think through the whole idea of Paul building this relationship with the Thessalonians, it takes time. Sometimes it's easier to just kind of stay in our own little world. Don't, you know, I was talking to a guy at HKS. He was the president of HKS for 10 years or 15 years or something like that. And I asked him, how do you take the stress of, you know, having workers and having people that, you know, depend on you're paying them and having relationships with clients. And I said, how do you handle the stress? Because sometimes, don't people kind of wear you out sometimes? You know, and if you're kind of my personality, you kind of like that. You kind of like people, you know, you like being around them. But eventually you just go, ooh, you know, I need to be away for a minute or for an hour. And when you think through this, did Paul get out of his own comfort zone where he would build relationships and take time? It takes time. It takes sacrifice. It takes work. I've never been down to West Dallas, but it's like Diane and Amy will not miss West Dallas. Any of you ever been down there? There's no air conditioning. There's no, right? I mean, it is a different world. And my guess is a lot of people that go there, if you're going there to minister, and this happens a lot of times when you're going to, or you want to talk to somebody, or you about your faith, or you want to minister to a bunch of kids, right before you're going, you're like, oh, I'm tired. You know, I could be doing 10 other things that would be a lot easier. Right? I mean, my guess is it happens when you're doing the music. You know, there's a lot of other things you could be spending your time doing. And Paul says, I know it takes time. I know it takes work. And I know it takes sacrifice. But that's how we build. That's how God builds his kingdom. And I was thinking about this whole idea about where Paul could have asked for money and chose not to. As we think about, like, me and support, and I'm like, well, what I like to think about is there's more than just me. Think about the Newports. Did you guys read that email from the Newports? It is amazing. And how much do we send them? Do we know? 300? 300 a month. If you read their email about, and who would have thought? They moved to Greece, right? And all of a sudden, Greece apparently is like the jumping off point for refugees. All these people these guys from Syria are coming into Greece. I've never really understood why they come to Greece. And then they're sent to different places in Europe. Well, these guys are getting saved. These Muslims are coming to faith. Because this missionary couple from, where are they from, Roy City? I don't know. From the middle of Texas. And I thought, so we are supporting people. We are paying people to. And I thought about Joshua too. I mean, even when we thought about supporting him, it was like, is $50 mean anything? Well, to Joshua, $50 is a lot of money. I just started thinking about this, that there are people our little group here is supporting people that one day, and I don't know how this is going to work, you know, that what's that one song about I'm not going to be able to remember the words, where the guy gets to heaven and there's people there thanking him. What is it called? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That one day we may see some Muslim guy that you never met, that our little $300 a month had something to do with him getting there. And I think that's kind of what... And when Paul writes, as you know, I think all of us need to be reminded daily what God has done, and that God is at work in our measly little daily struggles and joys and kidney stones. And don't forget. as you know, remember, and remind each other who God is and what he's done, and where would you be without him? Anyway, and then finally in verses 10 and 11, he talks about being a father. So he's talked about, Paul said, I was a tender, gentle nursing mother. I was a servant. I worked day and night so that I wouldn't be a burden to you. And then 10 and 11, he says, and really, when you think about the tender words, that this church must have been doing really pretty well. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behaved toward you believers. Don't listen to the people that came after him. We were blameless. We lived holy, separate lives. Don't listen to them. You know, and he says it, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children. There's a difference between a mom and a dad. They have different roles. They have different, and it's kind of nice when a kid gets the chance to have both of them, a mom and a dad. They're going to treat them different. Diane has a relationship with our kids that I have will never have. And yet Paul says, but I was with you just as a father, exhorting, encouraging, imploring each one of you. When I think about that lady thinking that I was actually carrying a baby by its one leg and thinking, you know, you just have to watch dads. I mean, well, you know this. I mean, we treat our kids different, you know. I mean, apparently, I used to take the kids on the floor and put them on my knees and flip them over my head like I'm laying on the floor. And apparently, you know, tended to freak her up. Yeah, yeah. And no mom would do that. You know, or well, not no mom, but generally they don't do that. And Paul says, think of this. Just like a father, I was encouraging you and exhorting you and imploring you, don't go back. Listen to who God is and what his son did for you. Just like a father would do with his own children, encouraging and exhorting and imploring them. When we talk to our kids, I'm sure you all are similar. I mean, it's like, when I walk down the hall and I see pictures of our kids when they were little, does anybody else like, it's like, what happened to the time? You know, I don't even hardly remember some of those days. It's like when you thought they would never go away. You thought they'd be that little forever. And then the next thing, they're shooting caribou. And I'm like, what did I never encourage them to shoot things? I don't know. But think of the relationship that Paul has with these people. This is a relationship that I don't think, do this in a positive way, that our group can have that big churches would never have. Never. My guess is, Steve Stroop might know 20 people, you know, really know them. And when I read this and I think about who Paul was and who God made him to be, I'm like, wow. And then in the end, Paul says, in this whole purpose, the whole purpose of this in verse 12, so that the reason I was tender and gentle and a servant and a dad is so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his kingdom and his glory. I didn't do this for me. I didn't do this so that I would have a kingdom or be a CEO. I did this so that you would walk in a manner worthy of who God is, who your Father is. This isn't guilt. This isn't, just think about who God is. Think about the songs we just sang. That he would take the likes of us just as I am. He would take me and you. And Paul, walk worthy. What do people think in our society? We have put worth on all the wrong things. Your house or your car or your position or tolerance, even freedom. And George Bush talks about it, freedom is a great idea and the whole world needs it. And they probably do. And we put value and worth in the stock market and the value of my Apple stock. And I'm like, wait a minute. Paul says, I did all this. I was gentle and tender and encouraging and exhorting and working so that you would understand and be able to walk in a manner of who your real Father is. Not so that you'll be my disciples and my followers and my people. Whenever I hear a pastor say that, it drives me crazy. I have more than a few weird quirks. But when a pastor says, those are my people, I'm like, ew. It's a short walk. Ew. You're not my people. You're here to walk worthy of your God. Big difference. Big difference in motivation. And I would encourage you to kind of read through the rest of the book because we're going to be getting into the whole. If you have questions, send me questions about the rapture and all that stuff. But when you read this and you think of Paul's heart and how God changed it from a murderer to a minister, from a persecutor to a parent. Let's pray. Father, again, there are times that your word just amazes us. That you would take a guy like Saul, call him to yourself, transform him from a murderer to a minister, from a persecutor to a pastor to, and Father, as we look at what you did in his life and how he treated the people in Thessalonica and the relationships he built there, Father, encourage us as we walk through this life that we're here to build relationships with people. And sometimes it's hard and we get tired and we get discouraged and we don't want to. Father, I pray that as we think through who you are, how you transformed our lives, you rescued us from darkness and brought us into the kingdom of your Son. Father, remind us of this. Help us to remember that we know this and remind us daily that you have a job for us to be a witness and a testimony and to walk worthy of who you are. It's in your Son's name I pray.